Well, welcome to our segment two, and this is where we do our Bible study, as you just heard. So we are ready to open up our Bibles to 1 Samuel with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert. Beth, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Amy. Well, yesterday we saw the civil war that was occurring between Israel and Judah as the people are trying to figure out who's supposed to be the king. And David has already been chosen king of Judah, and Ishbosheth has been placed on the throne by Abner to be the king of Israel. So today we're going to pick up and see what's going to happen next. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 6 through 22. While there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, Abner was making himself strong in the house of Saul. Now Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Then Abner was very angry over the words of Ishbosheth and said, "Am I a dog's head of Judah? To this day I keep showing steadfast love to the house of Saul your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and have not given you into the hand of David. And yet you charge me today with a fault concerning a woman? God do so to Abner and more also, if I do not accomplish for David what the Lord has sworn to him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan to Beersheba." And Ishbosheth could not answer Abner another word, because he feared him. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, "To whom does the land belong? Make your covenant with me, and behold, my hand shall be with you to bring over all Israel to you." And he said, "Good, I will make my covenant with you. But one thing I require of you, that is, you shall not see my face unless you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face." Then David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Give me my wife Michal, for whom I paid the bride price of 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband Paltiel, the son of Laish. But her husband went with her, weeping after her all the way to Bahurim. Then Abner said to him, "Go, return." And he returned. And Abner conferred with the elders of Israel, saying, "For some time past, you have been seeking David as king over you. Now then, bring it about, for the Lord has promised David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies.'" Abner also spoke to Benjamin. And then Abner went to tell David at Hebron all that Israel and the whole house of Benjamin thought good to do. When Abner came with 20 men to David at Hebron, David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. And Abner said to David, "I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may reign over all that your heart desires." So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Just then the servants of David arrived with Joab from a raid, bringing much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David at Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. Okay, I sort of, in my mind, I picture Ishbosheth as kind of an unintelligent guy, easily led by anyone. I picture him kind of weaselly, too. But he goes to Abner, and he accuses Abner of sleeping with Saul's concubine. Now, taking the concubine of a former king was very significant. It could be seen as an attempt to take the throne of that former king away from whoever holds it now. Abner is very angry with Ishbosheth, but notice he doesn't deny nor confirm whether he has taken this concubine. Still, he tries to minimize whatever actions might have happened with this woman charging that all the things he has done for Ishbosheth should be accounted for and he shouldn't be in trouble for this. Remember, at this time, women couldn't even be witnesses in court because they were considered so unreliable. So him pointing out that you're taking the word of this woman is a way that Abner is showing Ishbosheth this is a ridiculous charge. Abner is absolutely furious. After all he has initiated and directed the fight to keep Ishbosheth in the throne, he appears to be absolutely loyal to the house of Saul, and now Ishbosheth is accusing him of treachery. Then we find out that Abner knew that David had been anointed king and had deliberately knowingly acted against his conscience and against God's will in setting Ishbosheth up as king. Abner tells Ishbosheth that he will help David accomplish what God swore for David, namely the throne of Israel. Think about that. Abner knew God had given the kingdom to David. He knew that his attempt with Ishbosheth would surely fail, but he did it anyway to further himself. Isn't it interesting that Abner perhaps caught in a sin with this woman when called on it by the man he set up as king? He doesn't defend himself or produce contrary evidence. He just gets fussy and then turns his back on that man. So his sin of setting up Ishbosheth as king has split the nation. Then this accused sin is brought into the light with this woman, and now he is going to do what is right, not for any noble purpose, but to punish Ishbosheth for not being grateful enough for all that Abner has done for him and for even daring to question Abner's actions. Ishbosheth backs off. He knows Abner is in control of the army. He also knows that even if Abner has done wrong here, he can't win this situation. Abner is cunning and will twist the events to his benefit to make it seem that Ishbosheth is being ungrateful in making an issue of this issue with the concubine, and Ishbosheth can't afford that. Abner decides he's done with Ishbosheth. He decides perhaps David would like to utilize his abilities, and Abner goes job hunting. He wants to know that there will be no consequence for his previous affiliation with Saul's house, and David makes one request of Abner and then agrees to allow Abner to come over to him. David asks for his wife to be brought to him. Now, there are several reasons for this, but based on what glimpses of her character we've had and the fact that David hasn't pressed this issue until now, literally years later, I think that this stems mostly from David's desire to show honor to Saul's house, as the oath that he made with Jonathan showed. David had some affection for Michael, surely, but that wasn't what really pushed this here. David may have had another reason for wanting Michael back. She was Saul's daughter. If David had his princess back, that helps to establish even more legitimacy for him to claim Saul's throne, especially in the eyes of the tribes that are still withholding their acknowledgement of David as king. This also was an effort for him to see if Abner really meant what he said and if he was able to fulfill what he suggested. But Abner can't make this happen, but Ishbosheth can. So messengers are sent to Ishbosheth, and the thing is brought about, but Abner meets Michal and goes with her to David to present her to him. Her current husband, it seems, loved her very much, and he's heartbroken to lose her. But finally, when Abner sends him home, he goes and returns alone. When Saul had died, the people did want David as king. It appears to have been generally known that Samuel had anointed David at that point. However, Abner had set up Ishbosheth instead. So now Abner is going back to the heads of the tribes and saying, "All right, fine. You wanted David. Well, you can have him." He speaks specifically to the tribe of Benjamin, which was his and Saul's tribe, which had the greatest interest in keeping David off the throne and keeping a member of Saul's family on the throne. When Abner returns, David celebrates his return with a feast. But Abner wasn't done with what he considered his job. He asks David to assemble all of Israel so that they will make a formal pact with David before they change their minds. Abner has acquitted himself of his responsibility very well. David accepts Abner and Abner's change of heart and sends him away in peace. So, though at first Abner went to David alone and in private, now he comes to David with others publicly. They have a feast to celebrate this covenant. And of course, notice that all this is happening when Joab is not at court, because this would have gone differently if Joab had been there. David's enemy is now his friend. David didn't have to do anything to make that happen. God arranged the whole situation, and Ishbosheth's accusation pushed Abner into David's camp. David has a new ally, and he's a strong ally at that. Well, Joab returns from a raid just as Abner has left David in peace. Joab must have been gone for quite some time, but he returns with a whole bunch of plunder for David and for Judah. We're going to get into what happens with Joab's arrival tomorrow, but just remember for tomorrow that Joab arrived just as Abner was leaving, so he never actually saw him. But I want everyone to sit back and just bask in the amazingness of God. Seriously, who would ever have thought that Abner, the one who took Ishbosheth and installed him as king, would leave Ishbosheth and throw himself and his support behind David? God rocks! David could not have lured Abner away from Ishbosheth, nor could he have contrived a better way to get the support of Israel. God took care of it. David didn't have to fight each and every tribe to subdue them. That wasn't what God wanted, and I'm sure it wasn't high on David's priority list either. But God took care of it. Here's why I think this is so cool. If God can arrange with such infinite care and focus on the details, the defection of Abner, and thus the installment of David as king, why do we doubt that God can handle the details in our lives? Seriously, do we really doubt that God is big enough to handle the trials we're facing? If we can accept and believe that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, why do we think that our trials are too tough for him to handle? I can pretty much guarantee that speaking the world into existence was harder than whatever you have to face. Give it to God. He wants to help. He's ready to show you his glory so that none may boast as he fine-tunes all the intricate details, and you are just required to be still and listen to him, follow his leading, and obey and watch as he shows himself to you.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.